thank y'all. Thank y'all for coming back and joining us. This is the Woodsman Perspective Podcast, and I'm Brent, and we got a table full today. But we appreciate y'all joining us. I know y'all got a lot of things y'all can listen to, and we appreciate y'all picking us. We got a pretty good one today. We got maybe two of the most famous Mississippians, or at least their handlers, in here. If you're in the deer hunting world in Mississippi, if somebody says Bart Chancellor, well, the next first thing that comes to mind is smoke, probably. You know,
that's right.
These dogs are famous, and Chad Smith and his dog Si. We got them in here to talk all about dogs, deer recovery, and what goes into it, and it's a big deal here in Mississippi, isn't it?
No, no doubt.
Yeah. You know, I laugh when Bart and him got out of the truck, Brent. I said, him, Chad, I never met Chad, and I said, you know, I'm looking at two guys that held more Boone and Crockett deer than anybody in the state of Mississippi. And it's no question. You think about the deer that y'all have found over the years, some of the biggest deer in the state.
No, no doubt.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to say Facebook has probably blown it up more than anything, because I know Chad and I, we were on some of the same internet forums back before the Facebook days, the old MDWFP forum and the Bull.
Yep.
You know, there were some famous tracking dogs even before y'all. I remember, was it Allie?
Brad Stewart's dog, Allie.
Yep. Yeah. That dog was the internet legend before there was Facebook, if I got my time frame right. But it seems like with Facebook, sort of the Facebook groups, and it gave everybody a way to communicate, it seems like that really helped that dog recovery kind of blow up. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, of course, Bart and I both, you know, have had tracking dogs way before it became the cool thing to do. You know, we both come from, you know, running dog backgrounds, hunting dogs. We run a bunch of cur dogs, caught cattle all over the country and tracked deer at night. And, you know, when I was a kid, I really didn't have a specialized tracking dog till I got, you know, in college. But yeah, once the internet popped up and everybody got a tracking dog, and to where they could advertise. And,
yeah.
Bart, I'll tell you this, Bart, you know, smoke being up here, I mean, I was in Kroger today getting them pork chops and talking to somebody, and asked me, what you going to cook tonight? And I said, well, we're going down, we're going to interview Bart. And he said, well, they've tracked two for us. I mean, it's just.
There ain't many hunting clubs in this part of the state or in Alabama, right, or Mississippi or here that Bart hadn't been on, you know, hadn't went to track a deer. Every time somebody shoots a deer around here now that they can't find, they say, call Smoke. Who's got Smoke's number? You know,
yeah, Smoke's
random legend. People say, hey, you got Bart's number, you got Smoke's number. I'll send it to them or whatever, you know, and that's real popular.
Yeah, before we get too far down the road, let's go and do proper introductions. Yeah. Right here next to me, he's already talked a little bit. Tell them a little bit about who you are and where you're from.
Chad Smith, live in Leland, Mississippi, farm. So that kind of plays into the, you know, the tracking deal during the winter, because we're done harvesting. And so
you're from over in the Delta.
Fortunate to live in big deer country. Everybody picks at me. Like, Brenda, even you sent me a text, said that, you know, some guy said my dog will only find a big buck.
That's Adrian Holly down in Philadelphia. He's a preacher man on our internet group. He said, tell him I said his dog's good, but he only finds big bucks. He won't even bother look for a doe.
I will, too. That dog can't read a tape measure.
That's right. Bart Chastler, I run a lawn service and track deer.
Bart, you from Louisville? Yeah. You been there about most of your life?
All
my life. That's good. Yeah. I tell you what, it's a...
Both of these guys are outdoors, too.
Boy, they're both hunters. Right.
Yeah.
Me and Bart and Brent, we had first and second on old coon roundup on Bart, and then
we had talk down there.
We was having to wait on Bart and them to show up. We thought they was going to pull one of them quick ones outside the gate on us, but we got them on that one.
Bart said he just had a couple of bad partners.
That's what Hunter said, too.
That was a tough go, wasn't it?
Yeah, no doubt.
It was fun, though. It was a good time.
So
fill us in a little bit on what y'all do, sort of the process from the, I guess once deer season starts, y'all get real busy and the phone's ringing.
I guess
sort of that network.
Is a big, is the bow season is probably the biggest time for y'all.
Velvet season, it's wide open.
Yeah. You know, like where I'm at in the Delta, you know, I track for most all the river camps over there. And, of course, those river camps are made up by a lot of farmers. You know, and if it's dry in October, we're still harvesting, doing fall field work. So, Bart gets cranked up a little quicker than I do. I mean, you're going to have that guy that's got that giant patterned and he's waiting on day one.
Game
and he's going to go shooting, you know. We do get some calls. Bart's picks up a little quicker than mine does.
Have you found that?
Them early calls, they don't even go look for the deer. They just shoot the deer and then call you, right? It ain't necessarily a wounded deer. A bad shot. It's just it can be shot behind the shoulder, and some of these big deer, they call you right out the gate to go look for
them. Well, ain't no doubt. Some of them do.
Yeah. Look, before we get, because this is the craziest thing, as much as I've been in the outdoors, and kind of explain to the people as laymen, you know, you think the dogs are trading blood, but both of y'all told me that's not true, right?
That's right.
So what, kind of explain, one of y'all, kind of explain to me what that deer does when it gets shot.
You know, the tracking books and the everything that I've read, and it makes all the sense in the world. They say that a deer that's wounded produces a different pheromone that comes out of the interdigital gland in their front foot, and it's caused when their adrenaline gets up, blood pressure gets out of whack.
Right.
And, you know, and that's how those dogs are able. I mean, you pull up and you turn out at a feeder that's been 20 deer standing there, and those dogs go track
one. It's got to be something to it then, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bart can testify to this. Man, we pull up, and it's blood everywhere. And you see those dogs struggling to track it. And you know, you got to walk with them, and you got to go hunt. And that's a lot of times. And then, of course, all y'all hunt, and you've shot that deer, and you've cut him across the brisket. Nothing fatal. I tell folks all the time, you can cut your finger off and walk a mile back to the truck. You're going to leave blood the whole way. You're not going to die.
Right.
You know? Same thing with the deer.
That's funny. I never thought about it that way. That's pretty good.
Blood.
Yeah.
You know, and in my situation, like we talked about earlier, you know, 90% of my tracks is in the water. You know, we starting out in ankle-deep water to knee-deep water.
So we was talking that both of y'all are seasoned trackers. Is the theory true? Most time a deer is going to go towards that water. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah.
They're going to position themselves to get in it for sure. Right.
That's pretty neat. They was you was kind of telling us, Chad, what that old man had told you about the coyotes, and it makes a lot of sense what you're seeing.
No doubt, for sure. Yeah. You know, the guy that I've kind of got a lot of my dog knowledge from over the years, I asked him, I said, you know, Mr. Keith, when that dog gets that deer up, why is he getting that water? You know, that's where that lab wants him. He's fixing to catch him. And, you know, his thing was, he asked me, have I ever seen a coyote swim before? And I hadn't. You know, other than when these fox dogs.
I haven't either, to be honest with you.
So, now, whether that's true or a wise tale or makes perfect sense.
Right. Brent, before we get any further, I guess we need to explain. So, what type of dog is Si? So, Si's.
He's a lab.
He's a black lab. I just saw him outside, but I want to. Now, Bart, what is Smoke?
Black mouth cur.
So, squirrel dog.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Hog dog.
Cow dog. That's what we run back in the day.
How old are those two dogs, y'all?
12 and a half
years old. They let both of them out this while ago. I wanted to bring both of them in to see them.
What makes them dogs different between like a running walker or you know, a bloodhound or something like that as far as tracking deer? Is there much of a difference or can, you know, about any dog pick up on it?
And of course, everybody always asked, me and Bart get asked this question 100 times a season, what's the best tracking dog out there? And I tell folks all the time, he's going to be a tool for 3 months and a pet for 9. So get something that'll be a pet, too.
Right.
Now, obviously, I mean, there's weenie dogs. It's a hunting breed of dog. Guys track.
Teckle. Were they teckle? It was a little isn't that what they're called? Little teckle. They look like a wire hair pointer, but like a Dachshund, a wire hair pointer.
Yeah, terrier. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's guys that track with bird dogs. Guy that track with Catahoulas. You know, me personally, And I've got my number two dog is a half plot, half mountain cur.
I would say there's what I see just as a hunter and a casual dog guy. I've got a bird dog mix, and he's a great tracker. But there's a big difference between following a blood trail to a dead deer and recovering or having to bay, you know, all the things that y'all's do. There's a big difference between what my dog can do and what, you know, y'all's dogs I would call professionals.
Right.
You know, my dog could go find a dead deer, and I've used him that way before. Yeah. But I don't know what he'd do or if he come up on one alive.
Right. Hey, Bart, what do you think the people shoot a deer? What do you think your percentage is live versus turn the dog and it going out there dead? What do you think? Probably.
I'm going to say 65% is alive.
Still alive when y'all
when
put on.
When they call me, it's bad most of the time.
Right. Because most time, folks going to shoot him, and they're going to go out there and jump him up, or they going to push him, or he's not wounded that bad, correct?
That's right.
And then that's where it comes in at. Yeah.
Have you found that more and more people, if it's a big deer particularly, are they shooting, backing out, and just as a layer, as I guess, in the abundance of caution, or just as an insurance policy, they're not even going to go in and risk it, and they're just going to go ahead and call you? I mean, do you get on some that are just dead as a doornail 100 yards from the shot site, and it's a perfect shot, but the hunters are just – they just know. They're playing the percentage, and they just know, and they call you. No matter – they're going to spend the money and call you and just get it right.
A few, and I'm going to tell you, the guys in my situation, it's guys that I've tracked for in the past.
Yeah.
And
they know you're proven.
They've got the, you know, they've stomped and boogered up a track about as bad.
Right.
And then, you know, I tell folks all the time, go 100, 150 yards. Look, you know, you're not going to mess anything up. If you jump him at 150 yards, if he laid down that quick, he's hurt.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's a good point.
It's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know, because now, you know, I don't want to drive 2 hours and he's double lunged and not that I don't like
yards
to look at big deer,
right.
But you know, then the hunter feels like a dummy because he called and he was, you know, didn't go look. But you know, when you get in those caliber of deer, and I'm not getting into score because
no, I know what you mean.
Tape measures ruin deer hunting, in my opinion, and I love to kill big deer as much as anybody.
Still,
but
it's still fair to say there's a different sense of urgency. I mean, I think that's okay.
That's exactly
but Chad,
right.
where you're finding them, and I got a lot of friends and clients in the Delta. It's a secretive place over. They don't talk about it. There's, you know, we had a podcast earlier. We were talking about some of the biggest deer in the state, and the Delta. You never hear about them because they ain't gonna talk about them. And if all the people in the Delta was to put those deer in the record books, hell, we'd look more like Wisconsin people think we would.
Well,
they kill some big deer, and you know that too, Bart. They never get talked about.
Exactly.
You got to respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest deer that I've ever personally recovered, gross 221 and some change.
Wow.
And I can count on one hand, and I did get a picture of him. I didn't get a picture because the deer drowned in a duck hole. They got him out
right
the next day. He did send me a picture, but it was, hey, man, keep this one under your hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when you're hunting a place that you're leasing, and, you know, that can you can be outbid.
Money can get you.
And I totally – we told Bart and I both, I mean, we totally respect – hey, man, don't take a picture.
Yeah. 200-inch deer is going to bring money in from all over the country.
That's right.
You can't outbid what that could do.
You know, everything I've heard about Bart is business. You ain't sitting there taking pictures, and you going, because usually when you come get one, you got three more lined up to get.
That's right.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
What's the biggest deer, Bart, you ever found that you know of?
Probably Pitbull.
195.
Big deer, man.
Man, that's big.
Big deer.
And then that one this year,
and that was 180 something inch deer,
187.
God, that's a big deer. That was a big deer.
You know, I tell folks all the time. Of course, I have kept a journal on my dog on total recoveries, just something that I've done for myself. Because
right,
one day down the road, all I'm gonna have is that journal and the pictures.
Brent,
know,
that's that farmer in him keeping up.
That's
with
right,
it,
keeping them records.
That's right,
that yield.
That's
that
right,
yield.
Get gains and losses. You know, when the season closed, you know, he's found 1,109 deer in his career.
Wow, man.
I know they hadn't kept up with Smokes. I started hunting with Bart and them when Smoke was probably three. You know, we tracked together some, and you know, that's.
Hey, Bart, tell me about how old Smoke was before he started getting pretty good. You said he was three or four.
Well, he was good at two.
Right.
But
I mean, you just
he was trashy
when
good.
You knew that he was going to be a superstar. Yeah. When did that? When did he turn?
Well, Bull knew he was special right out the gate, but we knew he was at 4 years old. He was
right.
He was pretty solid. Dynamite.
And you've been around a bunch of dogs, so it.
Yeah.
But that's what I was getting at a while ago. I mean, in my opinion, and I tell folks all the time, and I've had the pleasure, you know, and been fortunate enough to walk behind Smoke, is, you know, not as many miles as him, but a bunch. Because I'm going to tell you, if I get a call on a 200-inch deer, I'm not scared to go turn out on anything out there, you know.
Right.
But there comes times when you get the call and it says, hey, I got this, this, and this. This is what we've got. This was what we're working with. Bart and I are dog guys. It's not about the dog. It's about the hunter finding his deer, you know. And, you know, if it's that special deer, I'm fixing to call him and said, hey, man, load up and come to the Delta.
Right, we got one.
And we're fixing to turn both of them out.
You know, it's amazing, Brent, we was talking about it, but – you know, you two guys are like a doctor or like a EMT. Y'all on call like a fire. I mean,
4 months out of the year.
Right. I mean, yeah. It don't matter if folks will call you because, like we was eating earlier, they don't shoot one at 9 o'clock and y'all go track it at 10 in the morning. I mean, it's most of the time it's late and they done waited 2 hours and then, you know, and it's according who's in front of them. And you know, we was talking about miles on a truck. How many, Chad, you say miles you put on your truck?
Oh, bare minimum. I mean, it's over 10,000 miles a winter, you know, just
probably
just strictly
the same
tracking.
For you too, Bart?
Yeah, 10 to 15,000.
And tires, because it ain't no easy roads where you're going.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. You know, we were laughing and talking the other day, and kind of just because I am a stats guy, you know, and keep up with everything, I said, you know, just say you say 10,000 miles a year. Them dogs 12 years old. They done rode in that box 120,000 plus miles. And then no telling how many miles they've run through the woods. So them staying healthy,
You keep miles on them on your tracking, on your GPS.
Yeah.
How many miles they run or how they work.
You know, we really don't.
The data's probably there, though. If you want to pull it up, you probably got it.
Well, it does. But, I mean, you know, when that dog, you let him out of the truck, and, you know, he's running over using the bathroom and running, it's calculating. My thing is when we turn out and when we find that deer, you drop a pin back on that truck, and that's when I say, all right, that deer went 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
You know, folks get hung up on that GPS and say, you may have rode 2 miles in there on the buggy. And they say, yeah, you know, track 1 8 miles.
Chad, so. What'd you tell me the farthest that you ever tracked a deer? You said it earlier.
Oh, just a tick over 4 miles.
4 miles. And did you get to recover the deer?
We did.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I know for a fact Bart come over and Hunter had a hunter down here, and he'd shot one pretty close to Tom Big River. And Bart put Smoke on it, and he got on him, and they dove in the river. And that dog went straight across that Tom Big River and went 600 yards, wasn't it, down the other side of the river, because y'all was calling me wanting to know.
New York.
Yeah,
that's right.
Y'all was wanting to know who to get in there. So I was making phone calls to get y'all permission to get in on the other side of the river, and it was about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Bart said, he's coming this way. and that deer ran 600-something yards, come back and jumped in that river 300 feet from where it jumped in before, Bart, and come across, and Bart stopped the dog and said, look, that deer's fine. I don't think that deer ain't going no further. But I was pretty amazing.
He said, we can do what you want to, but he said, I don't want
it was hurt. Amazing that deer could smell that. I mean, that dog could smell that deer swimming in that river and never. Because on the way back, old Smoke was right on his butt when he come up by that bank. Smoke was right there on him. And that's amazing.
You know, something that I've seen, and it, of course, you know, I'm going to ask questions just because, I think when you – think that you can't learn anymore, it's when you better quit.
Right.
But and Bart will tell you this too. So many times, you know, when we get in the rut, like of course in my part of the country, first week of December is when the rut's wide open. And you know, those deer done travel a ways, but it never fails unless they go get in the river. But where those deer end up, them guys will say, man, that's where I was getting all the pictures of him in August and September. That's home.
They know.
That deer's going back home. Them big deer are going home. I mean, because that's where they've been safe their whole life.
But you know, back even though, Bart, you know, dog running back in the day, a lot of times you jump in bucks, and them smart hunters will sit right there where they jumped, and he makes his big loop. He coming back.
That's right.
You know. But now he probably ain't got nothing like them two on his butt. And they, you know, they can't make a move with them two, I can tell you.
Them dogs are something serious.
But I've hunted both those dogs together before.
We have. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. That'd be hard to get a red one, two of them on you.
Them two dogs behind you, they catching it.
They going to get you.
It ain't getting far. How long after, if somebody calls you and say they shot the deer at daylight, and Bart told me a couple of times, he said, look, I don't want to turn loose till dark. He said, I'd rather not cut loose, you know, and somebody have the opportunity of shooting, you know, smoke after on a blood trail or whatever. And that could happen in daylight. But how long after somebody shoots one is too long to call y'all?
You know, a lot of that depends on weather conditions. Early October, it's hot, it's dry. You know, that trail goes to, you know, getting away pretty quick. Now, obviously, you know, on, say, a gut shot deer with a bow, you know, Bart and I like that 8 hours. Give them 8 hours.
Minimum. Give them 8 hours, then go. Yeah.
That's right. So
clarify
right.
That. Like, yeah.
Y'all give the deer 8 hours to lay down and then.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Hmm. Well,
gut shot well, deer well, run a long way, Kenny.
When Smoke was 3 to 6 years old, I was 3 hours. Let's go get it.
Right.
Nah, I mean, as he got older.
Right. Well, y'all.
But look, I've heard.
And you knew that, you know, it didn't matter if you waited a little bit.
That's right.
So when those, to clarify for people, because they're going, you know, they're thinking a lab, you know, lab's the sweetest dog in the world. And Smoke, good demeanor. I mean, you let him out, he just like a little kid out there. But those dogs, when they catch that deer, okay, because y'all was telling some stories and I was listening, did you say they bay him? Like they bay a, like you bay a hog.
That's right.
Right. So when y'all checking him and they're baying, so they hold him right there, and which he.
But surprised
the dogs
me.
Know y'all coming.
Well, watching the video, it surprised me because you think, in my mind, I'm thinking that this dog is aggressive. I mean, it's a chase, so that dog wants to catch that deer. Comes up on a deer that's wounded. You would think it would be more of an altercation, but the dog's keeping its distance. And just keeping the deer from breaking and getting out of there. It isn't necessarily a battle royal when it gets there, right? Isn't it? Some of the video I've seen, the dog's kind of smart about just keeping the deer in place.
Yeah, because it's amazing to me. You got these headgear. I mean, these huge world-class animals. And if anybody's ever grabbed a wounded deer, and Bart, you was telling stories. Look, we grabbed one time in a boat swimming. Yeah. And if you don't think he can't kick hell out of you, you're wrong. Because he can't get you. In the boat, and I mean they're strong.
That's right.
And you think of what's those dogs?
Well, and they're panicked too. You take something that's wounded,
80 pounds, and most of these deer are 230, 240, 250 pound deer, y'all. And I mean it's amazing. You would think a deer would kill them, but the dogs are sharp. I guess they don't let them get to them.
Well, it ain't no doubt.
That's right. Yeah, you know a lot of these guys is tracking now. You know they. I know this is probably not going to be politically correct, but it's just what you see on the internet is, I got a catch dog. You know, I've hunted hogs my whole life. And if you ain't got to take a break stick to break him loose, when everything's over, you ain't got a catch dog.
Gotcha.
You got some real fast cur dogs
that'll
run in there and pinch them, and then they realize, hey,
I'm
going to
let this
him.
Thing go.
And then you a mile later before you get him stopped again.
Right.
And I really think with these dogs, I mean, I think these dogs can tell how bad these deer are hurt. Now, if that deer's getting up, falling down, stumbling around, they're going to run there and grab him by the butt and pull him down from the butt end. They ain't going to grab him on the head.
They know.
They know. You know, you may pull up and they baying as loose as from here to your truck outside because they know.
Right.
If you walk up and that deer's ears is up and his tail's up, you know, that's the ones that those dogs are bayed a lot looser on.
That's cool.
You've probably picked up a lot over the years on the mortality of different shot placement. I mean, is there something you know, I bow hunt a lot, so you think, you know, a bad shot, a lot of times it's a little far back, which would maybe be a gut shot, or there's that area people call like that
sweet spot,
that no go zone, or that, yeah, you know, if you shoot a little high. Have you found, I've in the last few years just kind of keeping up with some dog trackers, and particularly smoke, is it more and more, you know, gut shot's about 100% recovery, isn't it? You're going to find a gut shot deer usually, aren't you?
You're supposed to.
But is there some of them you hear where it was, you know, brisket, which, you know, brisket or leg will bleed a whole lot, but that's gets to be a little lower percentage recovery, right? What have y'all found about where you hit a deer and what the odds are of finding that deer?
Yeah, you know, what we see, the deer shot, especially with the bow, the deer shot in the shoulder, you know, they got 3 inches of penetration. You ain't even got through the shoulder blade on those 230-40 pound deer. And it goes back to, they're going to bleed because you cut them with a 2-inch broadhead.
Yeah. Right?
But it's nothing life-threatening.
You hit them with a hatchet, they're going to bleed. That don't mean they're going to die.
You know, when you run a broadhead or a bullet through a vital organ, and the guts is a vital organ, it just takes longer. You know,
Bull brought smoke over one time, Bart. I think you had something to do, but we had a deer that my nephew shot. The deer was laying down in a cutover, and my nephew propped up. He was walking to the stand, and I seen the deer laying there, so I got him to run up there, and he was breathing hard a little bit, and he shot the deer laying down in that cutover with the legs curled up under him. And he shot the deer, and when he shot the deer, I knew it was hit, because you could tell the deer was hit, and it run up over the hill and went, you know, and run down, and we trailed blood 150, 200 yards. Good blood. I mean, we was trailing blood, just blood after blood after blood, and then finally it run out, and we couldn't find no more blood, and he hauled around. I called Bart, and he couldn't come. He called Bull, and Bull brought smoke, and turned smoke loose, and smoke about, I don't know, 75 to 100 yards from where we stopped finding blood, smoke bayed the deer, and the deer was shot in the foot, in the hoof. And so when my nephew shot, when he shot that deer, I guess the bullet dropped, you know, the deer was laying down when he shot it, and it hit that deer in the foot. And, I mean, that deer would have probably lived, but smoke went down there and caught it, you know. I mean, the deer was hit in the foot, and it bled. It bled like it was shot behind the shoulder. I never would have thought the deer was shot in the foot, you know. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty
well, and you know, when smoke can go bay that deer by himself, you know, how long will it take a pack of coyotes is going to catch him right there, right, and kill him? Now, I understand.
He's going to be wasted forever.
The food chain and the, you know, the coyotes has got to eat too, but – You know,
they ain't got to eat your deer.
That's right. And I mean, like your little nephew, he wanted his deer.
And also, always eat a coon off the road, I guess.
That's right.
Bart, we was laughing about, because Hunter was at my house when a guy called, and he's, you know, how many times you hear, man, he's a monster. He's unbelievable. You know, then when you get out there and find him, he's about that big.
That's not my deer.
Yeah. Man, I ain't for sure I shot that. You get that a lot, Bart.
Yeah, I get that a lot, but smoke don't care.
People get educated. But they'll run that camera out there. I got pictures of them right here.
Y'all ever caused or been in the middle of any hunting club drama where you get out there and you just accidentally say, well, yeah, we was over here today and found one. What? We didn't know about that one.
Yeah,
I figure y'all getting
them. Yeah, you get some of that, don't you, Bart? I was in a meeting and we was talking about bringing y'all on, and they was talking about how Smoke had found a deer for y'all or you had found a deer for this guy, and you said, hey man, 2 weeks ago I found one across the road over there. And he's like, really? Okay. somebody had some explaining to do on that one. But it's a funny, if y'all, both of y'all together, 10,000 miles a year, y'all have been to some incredible places. I bet you some beautiful places, don't you?
Well, for sure.
Yeah. And them and some, you know, just as good as they, I guess we all land lovers, as good as they grow.
That's right.
It's just a good place.
Like I said, again, I'm so fortunate for where I live, and it's in the middle of big deer country in the heart of the Delta, right on the Mississippi
right.
River.
Right.
You know, where If you shoot a 10-point at most of those river clubs, he's got to be 155 before you can pull the trigger.
Right.
And 6.5.
Right.
So when they call, you know, you're going after a hammer.
But, you know, Bart, what's the – you know, usually, you know, I remember, you know, I know where you live in Louisville, and you went all the way to Fayette, Alabama to track a deer. I mean, that's a pretty good run. I mean, that's a long run. And, you know, I guess y'all work off tips or – type stuff and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I've never set a price.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, people ought to be –
be good to set some expectations, though. I mean, people ought to think about what you're doing.
Bart done worked all day, and Chad.
Or he's been on 3 or 4 other tracks before he got to yours.
You know, he's there, and he's done run his – look, I saw your truck out there, about 13 miles a gallon at the most. You just like mine. And, I mean, you know, so it cost a lot. And I know people that y'all track for in the past, you know, you got repeat customers because, you know, y'all got the best, too, there is. You know, but, you know, I guess that's at the end of the day, that's a living that both of y'all do and depend on in the off months. I mean, that's a thing. I mean, hey, dog food ain't cheap either.
No.
And veterinarians, I mean, that's a – plus, aren't you training on – you got a new dog Moose, I think. Ain't that right? So you got one that's being ready to kind of take them reins and take that crown, you know, when Smoke gets too old. So, I mean, all that's – and your time that you spend with him.
Right.
Are people usually pretty good to you as far as taking care of you? People pretty generous? You've been surprised one way or other how cheap or how generous some people could be,
I'm going to say them two dogs have been well taken care of.
Yeah, that's good. That's doing right.
Best clients around.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
We got good people. I mean, most of our deer hunters and hunters in general, we got good people. I mean, that's – planting them green fields, running them cameras, paying them land notes.
That's right.
I mean,
the tracking dog's the cheapest part of the whole deal.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And, of course, Bart and I both, I mean, we're super fortunate and have been, you know, good Lord has blessed us with some pretty fair dogs. And, you know, but, of course, my son and Bart's son's the same age. They're seniors in high school. And, you know, they're outdoorsmen. They're, you know, Bart will send Will off with a dog by himself, and I'll send mine off. And a lot of times in October when I'm harvesting, I'll let him get off the combine. I'll go run it while he goes and runs the track. You know, I tell him, that's your going out money.
Yeah.
Well,
spending that time with y'all too, you sons.
But that's right. But it also takes a – you know, when we try to keep a couple of extra dogs and, you know – not to say one deer is better than the other, but you know how high school kids are. Hey, Dad, my bud, you know, he just shot a cull buck over here. Well, take that puppy and go get him.
Right.
You know.
Train and get him some experience.
So, but, you know, and that takes some pressure off of us, as well.
And I want both of y'all, because it's really amazing after y'all told me about this law, the new law that they come in effect this year, and you and Bart had a lot of, you know, with the Game and Fish, y'all had a lot of to kind of help create that and kind of word it. Kind of tell me about that, because, you know, you think about it, you most time you shoot them at night. You have to go get them at night, retrieve them. I shouldn't say shoot them, but retrieve them.
Right.
And if they're alive, you know, 6% of the time,
and so
you got to die somehow. Yeah.
And so sort of setting the stage for that, even the need for that law, there are some – you get a little pushback from some and what is that primarily? Is there just clarification between the difference in recovery – and night hunting, is that what some people that are, I don't want to say against it. I mean, it may be it. It may be
haters.
It's fair to say.
We got haters in this business.
That there are people against
jealousy.
It. But the logic, you know, even people can be on another side of an issue, and usually there's some logic behind what it is. And I guess it's that some people see it as night hunting, not a mortally wounded deer, and you're out there and you're taking the deer. So I guess from there, what led to the need for the law, and kind of explain that a little bit. It clears up some gray areas, right?
You know, not to go into any detail, but Bart and I both on two separate instances, you know, on recovering a deer at night, and felt like that there was, and it is a gray area because the law in the state of Mississippi prior to this new law, it said you could not shoot a deer at night with aid of
with
a light.
Use of a light. Yeah.
And but it also said you got to make every effort morally and ethically to recover your game. So you shoot that big buck and you give him, you come back to the camp, you eat dinner, you give him a couple hours, which what everybody does if they don't see him fall, and you go out there without the dog and you track him up and he's laying in that brush top over there and you walk up as a hunter, what are you gonna do?
Well, you got to shoot him.
You're gonna finish him off. That's right. That's the ethical thing to do.
Well, you don't want him to suffer.
That's right.
I mean, that's anything. I mean, that's a...
So when these couple of episodes happened, instances, whatever you want to call them, you know, some of the wildlife commissioners reached out and said, hey, you know, we need a law that covers y'all and game and fish. You know, because if they get a call about a light, somebody shining a light at
they
night,
think it's somebody spotlighting.
They're calling the game warden, so the game warden's got to go... you know, check
he's
it out.
He's got to respond.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, with some deliberation back and forth.
You can't call a game warden every time you got to go track a deer, go with you.
That's right.
Right. You know, we actually proposed make the tracker buy a permit. And we proposed that the permit price be $500, you know.
Pretty stout.
Pretty stout, right. Yeah.
So, that, you know, that weeds out
some of the riffraff. Yeah.
And, you know, then when you catch one of them without the permit, of course, obviously the state didn't go for that.
Yeah.
But that's how serious we were when we put our interjections in to what this we felt right, like this law.
Because you're doing a legitimate service. I think that goes to clarify your position that you're not trying to undermine the spirit of the law.
We track because, you know, these game wardens that hunt, I mean, we have had to track for them.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, game wardens and politicians shoot deer, too.
Absolutely.
Ain't no doubt.
But, yeah. I mean, even go a step further, you know, I have been, had the game warden call and said, hey, man, we had a guy shoot a deer off the levee. You know, we know he shot the deer, but we need to find the deer.
I didn't even think about that.
To make a case against him.
Right?
Can you come? So, and I have, you know. Kind of a double-edged sword, but still, at the end of the day, just do what's right.
Well, and here's another thing. These deer, I think you owe it to.
For sure.
The deer. He's 5-6 years old. We talk about managing. We talk about all this stuff, but to go get him. And, I mean, like you were talking about Hunter shot in the leg, and Bart, you found a pile of them shot because you told me the knees and legs off and everything else. That deer would be dead. I mean, either a gang of coyotes is going to jump on him, or are you going to retrieve him and get him? I think I'm going to go with that gun over that coyote biting down on me now. That's just me.
What is the rules?
Exactly. Well, the rule now is you can run two dogs at day or night, and you can use a handgun at night, bow season included, but it 45 caliber or less. So just basically a service-type pistol, you know, 45 caliber or less. I mean, nobody's toting a 500 Smith & Wesson around with a scope.
It would look good one of the big, dirty, hairy ones.
You'd rather have a Derringer.
You're right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the law. I mean, we can run two dogs and then carry a service-style handgun at night.
Tell a little quick story. Local guy at home, before I forget it, he was trailing a deer. He lives right there by me, and he's got a pretty good dog. Her name's Cat, but he had his pistol, and the deer got up in front of him. He went shooting, shot the horn off the deer. The old guy that he was tracking for, he said, golly, but I figured they can put it back on, but he shot the horn off the deer.
You know, we laugh about that, and y'all are in close categories. I mean, close proximity with all these things, it could be, you know, if you didn't.
You got a lot invested in that dog.
You got too many people wielding a gun. I'm funny about
my dogs, too. So
I know Bart's got rules he goes by, and I imagine you do, too, Chad.
I mean, the only rule I got, I have no problem with a hunter shooting a deer. Just don't shoot that yellow dog.
Right. And the problem is you got all that emotions, and he's looking at them horns. He ain't looking at that front shoulder.
He's
looking at that rack.
That's why you're there in the first place.
That's right.
If he was a great shot, you probably wouldn't be there in the first place.
And he wouldn't do it on purpose. But, you know, a lot of times, Bart, like Hunter, he's gone with you a bunch of times. But, you know, everybody, it's amazing. Everybody wants to go. So you'll have four, five, six people in there walking with you. That's a big deal, and it's an exciting deal, and it's but it could be, I guess it could be a dangerous deal. I mean, it's
absolutely. You know, very few, and you figure out real quick when you start on the track, the guys that, you know, because, I mean, these dogs, we can tone them back. I mean, we can tone them off of a bay. Don't like to.
Right.
Oh, that's why, you know, like when we track a lot, Bart hates to shoot at night because Si is black, and he gets in the shadows, and he's hard to see.
Right.
You know, so.
And y'all walking in some rough, like y'all know, what's the worst kind of thicket? I'm a timber man, and I hate a blackberry thicket worse than life. It'll rip you to pieces. What's the worst one to get in?
Man, a four-year-old cutover.
Yeah, that
boy's
no
tough,
doubt.
Ain't it?
Did you say you can tone the dogs off a bay?
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
With a collar? About
it. You can tone them. You can tone them back. I mean, they're.
Yeah,
that's a well-oiled machine right there.
And I'm glad you touched on that because that was one of the things that we, you know, with Game and Fish. You know, everybody's running a Garmin-style tracking system, or I would say 99% of the people are. And it's just like on X. I mean, you tap anywhere on that screen, it shows landowners and
property lines.
Yeah. You know, and I promise you, we respect, you know, because, I mean, the first thing we asked the hunter, how many acres have we got to deal with?
Yeah.
My situation over there is bigger tracts of land.
Bigger landowners.
Versus the 100-acre tracts.
But a guy's got 10 acres in a food plot, you know it's going to be on somebody else.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he already tracked it 400 yards. you know you got an adjoining landowner in issue.
Absolutely. But that's right. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And
you don't want no trespassing.
That's right. But, you know. And if that deer gets to running, or that dog gets to running, and he says, hey, that's old Johnny's place right there. We
can
can't get there.
In. You can reel them back.
You can hit that tone button.
And bring him back.
That's a big deal.
They're fixing to come right back.
Because, look,
you turn
we talk about the politics of deer hunting. You know, probably all of them got a picture of the deer if it's a big one.
That's right.
And everybody's got that little bit
That's my deer.
My deer. Little hate in them. Yeah. And so they're, you know, I mean, you think about it. I mean,
yeah, and look, by God, put yourself in the shoes of the neighbor. You don't necessarily want a party of, like you said, if six people show up, if you got a shooter, right. A handler, a dog, and if the shooter has three or four buddies, he's already texted or called before you get there. I mean, the neighbor may not want six people in a dog. I mean, even a neighbor that would be okay with you trying to recover, you know, even a good neighbor is what I'm saying.
That's right.
And I'm sure not all neighbors are good neighbors.
I've had numerous calls over the years.
But that's tough. That's a tough ask.
We're tracking a deer.
Sometimes.
Do you care if it gets over on some of the stuff we manage? And
you know,
most of them, I'll just say, go on.
That's right.
Because they don't know you there. But, you know, you'd be surprised, Bart, how many cameras you see in the woods? A bunch.
A bunch.
Yeah. You know, so, look, that's like we was talking about that surprise element of that big buck. If you own a place and he's got three or four cameras, you're going to go past one of them. I can promise you.
You know, and we like to track at night for a bunch of different reasons.
Yeah.
Oh, but the main one is the safety of the dog.
That's pretty good.
You know, because there are people out there that will shoot a dog if it comes across their place, and that's just I don't like it, don't agree with it, but
right.
that's life. And you know, deer that are wounded for whatever reason seem to bay better at night. At night, you can walk up, could about kill them with a slingshot,
right?
You know, versus in the daytime. And you know, you just I don't want to ruin your hunt.
Right.
Even if you didn't care, if your neighbor come over here and tracked a deer.
Right.
Because Bart and I do it all the time. We call and say, look, man, there's a chance that we're going to get on your place. Because we've tracked all over the country. We know a lot of these landowners.
Right.
If you're hunting there, we're going to wait till dark.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, and more times than not.
And making the neighbor, them contacts that y'all have over
the
years.
Neighbor respects that. And, you know, very rarely do you ever get any pushback.
Right.
I would say probably, and I'm guessing a little bit here, but the reputation that y'all have earned probably goes a little further with that neighbor. If you know you're bringing in a reputable dog with a track record and sort of basically a resume, then just, you know, your buddy with a dog, you know, I'm going to say that probably makes a difference.
Well, they're both them dogs are known.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how many times I've heard the name Smoke in the last 10 years.
People call me and they were like, I shot a deer, and I'll say, is it a smoke dog or when you get a local dog? I mean, a smoke deer or
right.
when you get a local, you know, local dog to track it. So he don't have to drive all the way from Louisville, you know, to come up. And,
well,
I mean, he will anytime you call him. But that's a common question. Is it a smoke deer or not, you know?
Well, it goes back to, you know, if that guy's never killed a 130 and this is the biggest deer he shot, it's the biggest deer in the world.
It means more to him than anything in the world.
You know, of all the giant deer I've found in my life, and I have found
– some of the best.
Some of the best. A kid's first deer is still my all-time, and I will not take a dime.
Right,
it ain't no doubt those deer would pay the most of anything you ever find. But right. I tell them, dad, mamas, and daddies, you do not have enough money to pay me what it's worth.
Right.
To see that kid smile.
That's cool.
And kill their first deer.
Right.
You're introducing them to something that's that right. I'm passionate about.
And they won't never forget that.
And they won't never forget. Life. I tell folks all the time, there's two deer you'll never forget. That's your biggest deer and your first one.
Right. I can remember where I was at when I killed
mine.
No
doubt.
I
mean, that's just but you know, thing. But like
mine was bigger than yours, Hunter. So figure.
You know, we have a network. Of course, there's all the tracking pages and stuff on Facebook. And
I know y'all had matching hats, so it's an organized.
It's
network
organized.
Where you can get a caller, a tracker in your area. Is that right?
It is. Of course, I mean, we've been in the game long enough. We've got customers that's. You know,
you get those
they
direct
only
calls.
Want smoke. I mean, hey, I want smoke or nothing. I'll right. wait till next Tuesday to get smoke, you know.
Right.
But we're scattered out, was it 10 of us, Bart? It's in our group?
Yeah.
You know, and we've got a guy in Tunica. Oh, then I'm around Greenville, you know. And then Bart and Zach Crowley's kind of over this way.
Right.
And then we've got Eddie Mormon. He's in Grenada. And then we've got some kind of Jackson South.
Wow. So y'all
all
got
the way, Crystal Springs, Gallman,
that's
down
pretty
that
amazing.
Way.
Yeah, Zach's over Webster County, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's cool. That is that's sharp.
So if somebody calls, and very few folks contact us through our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page, and it's just called Blood Trailing Dogs. About as generic as you can get.
Right.
But, you know, and it's just a place for us to, you know, show off these hunters' deer. That now we do have all of our contact information on there. And we tell folks, hey, good possibility we're not going to answer because we're going to be tracking. Shoot us a text, leave us a voicemail. But you know, we look at where it's at, and you know, if they call me and say, man, I'm in Canton, and I'm going to give them two guys' number that live in Jackson.
Right.
Now, if they can't come. But with our 10 guys, and we kind of separated ourselves from the other, and we still cover tracks for Mississippi Blood Trailing Network, Nose to the Ground, you know, if they can't
I've
get
heard
there.
Of those groups on
and, you know, but if I shot a 200 inch deer today, any one of the 10 dogs in our group, I would feel just as confident if smoke showed
Trust
up. Them. Is Braden Smith's dog called Rip that's in Crystal Springs, Mississippi.
Right.
One's just as good as the other.
Right.
Folks associate the
– So it's not a whole lot of competitiveness within the
– Not within inside of our 10 guys, no. Now, inside of the blood trailing world
– Because it gets a little scrappy sometimes on those Facebook groups.
It
gets a little yappy.
You know, and I think it goes back to what we touched on a while ago, a little jealousy, you know.
Deer make people do funny things now.
I mean, well, now just, look, now as good as a good dog is, I'm going to say you it's a pretty bad deal if you make a call and somebody comes out there with a half cock and, you know, a bad experience with a dog would, I mean, that'd be a bad deal.
Right.
For sure.
I've seen both ways.
That's why I say that. I've had
no good, and I've seen smoke. And it's so much of a difference when Bart rolls up and turns smoke out versus somebody's just pet or whatever, you know. A couple people's got good dogs, but Bart will turn smoke out. The hunter will say the deer went left and smoke will be going right, and he'll be like, well, no, the deer went left. A few minutes later, smoke's got the deer bayed to the right. You know, you can't never doubt.
I ain't gonna bet against him.
Well, you know,
one of old Kenny Rogers songs, ain't it? No one hold him.
My old guy that I've trusted in my dog knowledge for so long, he said that dog can smell better than you can see, and you got to trust him till you can prove him wrong. And that's kind of, been my motto. And he also said that, if that dog's good enough, you won't have to brag on him. Everybody else will. He said,
I think y'all have established
that's a good move right there.
He said, because I promise you, when you go to bragging on him, he's going to shit the bed and he's going to act like a dog, and it's going to happen. And that may not be politically correct.
I'm going to say you ain't wrong.
Truth hurts,
That's right. When Bart pulled up, and I'd not seen smoke in person that I've remembered. But then I got to thinking, I got a pretty good memory. I got to jogging, and I said, well, Bart, you remember tracking a deer over around Columbus in the city limits and then got over by some apartment complex? He said, you the one to pick me up? I said, yeah, that's right. But the little boy shot his first deer, and smoke got on him, and he run him, and that's one of them four-year-old cutters. You remember, Bart, it was rough. So I bailed out there, and it was a nice apartment complex, had a big fence around it, and it was a big deal, and old Bart got in there with the thicket. I'm going to tell you, he was cut up. And it was rough. It was blackberries, what you talking about. And Bart got the deer, and he said, well, how are we going to get it out of here? Because I'm telling you, you wasn't pulling it back where the truck was. I said, well, look, we get over at this apartment complex. I believe we can get this fence up. So we drug that sucker, me and Bart and the other fella, we drug it and pulled that fence up and drug it up under the fence. And them folks standing in the parking lot, man, look at that deer. They were checking it out, and we was like, we got a dead deer laying in the middle of a Pontiac and a Capri over there, and probably a Fiero, and we drag it out and put it in the back of the truck, and Bart's sitting in the back, and he's like, good God, if we don't get out of here. We drove out the gate and come on in there, but it was that was a funny. Had to remember that, but it was it's been 5-6 years.
Yeah, we were sitting around after we ate. We were sitting around talking, and all of a sudden, it's like a light bulb went off with Chris. He's like, "Was that you? Was that you?"
And Bart remembered it too, because Bart said, "I was videoing that thing. If we get out of here, we." But it was, you don't look at it every day somebody drag a deer on their fence, be laid in the parking lot up there. But that's about Seek One stuff. But it was pretty cool.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Greenville, Mississippi's gotten probably bad as Chicago has.
Right.
So, yeah, for sure.
They're getting urban. You was telling a story, Chad, and I don't know if you mind telling it, about the goldfish pond. That's a pretty good story right there.
Yeah, Bull and I, we turned out on a deer in Senatobia behind on Northwest Community College on the backside of their farm. And, tracked the deer a long ways, and the dogs bait him in the goldfish pond in the backyard of a, 700,000-800,000, maybe $1 million home, in a gated community.
Good night.
At 11 o'clock at night. And
That's probably against HOA.
Yeah. I'm going to say that, that was some duck commander stuff, but.
Got to know Jason Birchfield.
Yeah, for sure. The one that owned smoke. Yeah, no doubt.
So he went up there and knocked on the man's
door? Knocked on the door, and this nice lady come to the door in her robe, and, they told her, said, hey, we got this little girl's deer in your backyard in this pond. Do you mind if we get it? And she was all for it, Now her husband not so happy about it, but she didn't realize it was still alive.
That's a detail.
But anyway, got the deer and, got out of there and, but there again, we do try to be respectful, of people's property.
That's right.
For sure. And that's something that I wanted to kind of go back to about the law. I was on a track this year in Humphreys County. Come out, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I pull out on the road on 49 Highway on the 4-lane. I've got to go south to get to the turnaround to come back north. Two game wardens sitting there in the median, lights off. They flashed, pulled me over. They'd come by. They'd seen my light, out in the field. I was 700-800 yards from the highway, but they could see. And, they questioned me, what are you doing? Yada, yada, yada. And I told them, they checked my truck. They asked it, did I mind if they looked in my truck? And, I had one dog in the box, and they opened my back door. All of my tracking stuff was there, collars, handhelds, lights, dog leads, the whole nine yards. And, they were as nice and professional as two officers. They were doing their job.
Right.
You know.
They just saw that. Somebody probably reported saw that light out there.
They actually were driving by going to another call and saw those lights shining. Yeah. And, you know, of course, in the Delta, you can see so far.
That's right.
And they waited till I come out. And, of course, the hunter and his daughter was behind me. So they stopped and got out. And he was like, well, I see we didn't catch a bad guy, so let us go on to catch the next one. Be safe, you know.
Right.
So
that's good.
They have accepted the new law, you know, very well. Right. So
that's good.
And it's real good.
That's good. I mean, you're providing a service. You know, if you do it right, you're providing a service.
That's right.
I think definitely a place for it. As ethically, we've got a duty. You know, we've set a time, and for me, that's what it goes back to. You got a responsibility. Once you pull the trigger, you can't take it back. Once you release that arrow, it's gone. We all want to make the best, most ethical shot we can make. But we've all been there. You know, we've all been hunting a long time. It doesn't always go the way you script it and the way you draw it up. And I think you've got a duty. Your duty doesn't stop when it runs out of sight. So
that's exactly right. I appreciate that.
I think there's definitely a place for it.
And from a hunter standpoint, ain't nothing sicker than losing one.
Losing a deer.
I mean, I'm going to bring it up again. I got nightmares. I shot one back here, and he was doing it, and I just didn't know. And he's as good as I've killed, and shot him good, and thought I did, but jumped him. And anyway, I think about him yearly. You know what I'm saying? Yearly. Yeah.
And so he died.
Yeah, he did. He's dead. He never saw him perfect 12. I mean, I just wanted to.
Well,
it's just how it goes. But
was it 2 years ago that I shot the deer on the farm?
Yeah.
I mean, I shot what probably would be the biggest deer I've ever shot in my life. I mean, we didn't recover him, but I mean, this deer, I've been fortunate to kill some big deer, some 70s kind of deer.
Right.
I think this deer was mid 80s as a slick 10 point. Oh, and
you're going to make me not sleep tonight.
And look, when I shot him and I shot this deer with a rifle, I normally just bow hunt.
Did you call a dog?
Look, I called Bart from the stand, and I told, because when I shot this deer, I shot him at 175 yards, propped up in a redneck blind and some sandbags. When I pulled the trigger, man, I said, he'll never make it out of the field.
He just kept going.
He's going down in the front end, his tail's wiggling 100 miles an hour, and he makes it to the woods. He's got a little small buck with him. It's the next to the last day of season, so these deer are piling back in these soybeans. You know, and I shoot this deer at 2:30 in the afternoon. And I called Bart. I said, dude, I just smoked a giant. And we talked. I said, I'm going to wait till dark. Going to try to shoot a doe. And, of course, I saw the little buck come out, went in the little finger woods, and the little buck come out. And he's looking back up in the woods, and he breaks and runs. I said, he just crashed right there. So I wait till about 5 o'clock, and I walk out there. And this blood trail's 6 foot wide. It's blood blowed on top of the beans on both sides of him. And I walked into the woods, and I go, he run 70 yards out of the field to make it to the woods. Went 25 or 30 yards, and I walk up on a bloody bed. Now, I didn't jump him because I'd have seen him. Right. I'd have heard him hit the water. Mm. And, of course, you know, I'm having to preach to the choir then. I say, don't go any further. I backed out. I called Bart and I said, hey, man.
He ain't there.
Put me on the list. If it's that deer, I want both of them together. I mean, I'll turn out on anything by myself, but come on. You know, and he and Bull drove over and we didn't get him.
Oh, man.
You know, did not get him.
Wow.
But he got in some flooded timber, and you know, just
never saw him again.
Never saw him again.
Dead. Oh, I think he got in there and drowned. Probably.
I don't know.
It just, this was in about a 200-acre block of flooded timber, and Bart and him actually drove back 2 days later. He said, "Dude, we left that deer in them woods in that water." So they come back in the daytime, and you know, we turned them dogs out, and they knocked the exact same tracks out 2 days later.
That's wild.
Through that water. And of course then I went to drastic measures. The next day I'm down there with the track hoe. I'm busting beaver dams, I'm pulling
drains
out of the pipes, I'm draining duck holes. To heck with youth weekend, the duck season, I'm looking for my deer, and you never found him.
make you sick, man.
Nah, no doubt.
Wow.
But you turn around and those deer of that caliber, or just a person's biggest deer, you know, that's what's so rewarding to Bart and I. We don't hunt that much anymore because you can't when you're going on two or three tracks a day.
Well, who's gonna surprise y'all, stuff y'all come up with? I mean,
we talk about that weekly. Yeah. You know, what I want to kill, I don't have.
Right.
You know. But when they call you and you show up and you sort out a mess, you know, fix, you know.
Or you find that first deer for that kid. That's the favorite of all.
You know, hunting, there's so much of hunting and so much about what we love about it is it's such a roller coaster. There's that highest of high and how quick it can go to the lowest of low.
Right.
And when you go from that high, especially if it's a kid, you know, we've all hunted with our kids. You're on top of the mountain, and then if you get out there and you start looking, you know, it doesn't take long. The spirit start sinking pretty quick.
Well, you start doubting yourself.
When you start doubting, you start walking back through it, you start thinking about it. And so this will go back to, I guess this is probably 101. You probably get asked this all the time, but we got to ask, what do you want a hunter to do? When you get that phone call, before they call you, what's the ideal situation? What should a hunter do after they take that shot and all of a sudden it's not looking like what they wanted to?
Go look for his deer.
And
I mean,
whether he jumps it or not.
I don't think it bothers Smoke at all unless you just really mess it up.
But maybe don't put another dog on it. What do you get into that now? Hey, you go behind another dog, does that change it?
Well, it makes it tougher.
Well, yeah.
I've told people. I've had somebody call me and ask me to use my dog
get
before.
That neighbor's
and I've told them, no, you don't
want to. That neighbor's golden doodle that you think she can smell.
If you're going to put a dog on it, put a good dog on it.
Smoke's the kind of dog you don't have to babysit him. You turn him loose, and he goes and does his thing. You stay at the truck.
Yeah.
When you put that other dog out there, you do have to follow behind him some until he gets all that mess worked out. And it just makes it harder.
Mm-hmm. I can see that because dog's sensitive. Yeah. I mean, he got that nose, both of them.
So don't be afraid to walk in and look for your deer.
I want you to go look.
I mean, that's what I said
earlier.
Some
folks wouldn't know because I would think, don't do it. But
well, if you watch Door Channel now, and look, I get a little bit wore out if you're watching, and I don't watch a lot of outdoor channel anymore, mostly YouTube, but hunting shows in general. Man, it seems like everybody's quick to back out. And I was raised, you go look for your deer. I mean, I've looked for deer a lot, right or wrong. You know, the dog's definitely a better tool, but also but
you feel like your gun was on. And
that's right. I mean, that to me is part of the hunt.
Yeah.
But there's a point where all of a sudden, there's a point where you're backing up. After a while, it's time to back out and do something else. But I agree. I like to hear that. You know, go look for your deer.
That is good.
When you go from tracking your deer to searching for your deer,
that's
a good way to put it, because you're
is,
tracking up to smart, a point and all of a sudden you're not tracking anymore,
right?
You know if you break that
when you're getting ready to rip your t-shirt to leave a mark on that last blood and you're hoping to find a pin drop,
run that left sock time. Out there and hang it up.
You know, when you go 200 yards, you know you hadn't shot his heart out. You know you hadn't double-lunged him.
Right.
And you know, we're going to ask a series of questions. And 9 times out of 10, when they give you what the sign looks like, Bart and I can tell you where you hit him before we ever leave the house.
What should they be observing? That's a good point. So at the shot, if there's a hunter listening, what do they need to be thinking about and paying attention to?
First of all, you know, watch how the deer reacts. And, you know, did he jump and kick? Did he hunch? Did he run out? And that the whole, you know, his tail was up, his tail was down. You know, I want to know how he reacted, not so much on the tail. How was he running low-headed?
Yeah.
You know, and the most.
Was he jumping any straight line? Did he zig? You know, there's a lot of things like that.
And when you get down there and, you know, they said, all right, well, I've got, it's a pile of enough white hair to weave Indian blanket. You know, long white hair. It ain't but two places long white hair can come from, and that's under the belly or on the inside of the tail. So then that tells us, hey, we're going to wait. Or if they say there's stomach matter on the ground.
Shot it low.
And then, you know, that's going to tell us, hey, we're going to go run these other two tracks. We're going to catch you about 10, 11 o'clock tonight. We're going to let that deer soak for, you know, 7-8 hours. You know, then you get the call and it's, hey, I got pieces of meat and bone big as my finger. You know, that deer shot, you know, somewhere from the knee to the low shoulder.
To leg.
And you go get on him before he learns how to travel around three-legged.
Yeah, you know? So I've started over the years, I video more and more. I'm going to say video probably comes in handy. If somebody does have video, if they're video, and you can learn a lot from that video before you even let the dog out, right?
Is it the blood color, is that a myth, or is that kind of a true thing? Or,
you know, a deer shot in the liver, you know, you get that dark maroon, mm-hmm. almost black looking, right. real greedy. And, of course, obviously, when you go to seeing stomach matter and stuff on the ground,
you can smell it.
Good. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, and Bart can test this, you know, I know he shot the gut because it's bloody corn. That deer sitting there got a bite of corn in his mouth, and you rip him, and he jumps. And
right.
He hollered.
Yeah. You know, he's thinking, man, this corn stings.
But, you know, that's just the questions we're going to ask. Hey, what caliber do you shoot with?
Right.
If it's a 270, you don't even leave the house, do you? Yeah, that dude's going to live.
Man, it's a 6.5 Creedmoor now.
I was just finna say it.
God, it's a flesh wound. Don't deer hunt with that squirrel gun anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
I think them 6.5 good for shooting cormorants. I'm just throwing that out there, Knoxville County people. But
ain't good for business.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what's so funny in the daytime. That's what I carry with me if I carry a rifle during the daytime. I carry a 6.5 Creedmoor, and it's only because I won it at a Whitetails Unlimited banquet and wouldn't nobody buy it. So
that's one reason smoke's so good, because Bull, he shot a 270.
Yeah, okay. Oh, shot on him right there.
But yeah, man, it's you know, Bart and I laugh and joke all the time because we catch some flack because from the up and coming trackers. And look, man, we'll go help anybody. I mean, I'm not too proud to call Bart
for help.
I picked up on that too. And it's a pretty good little community, I guess.
That's cool. I mean, I didn't know y'all had all those different.
Absolutely,
cool. Good dogs out there. If you do your research, you can find them.
You know,
I mean, them other groups have got some good dogs.
Right?
They, you know, Bart laughs and says all the time. He said, "I promise you, there's a line longer than the welfare line that's sitting there waiting on them two old son of a guns right there to retire or check out."
That's right.
But just know that done reloaded.
That's right. Got two coming up the pike.
Yeah,
we're gonna might get them in here and get some pictures.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we start to wrap it up. When we post this, when we publish it, I can put links. You know, if y'all are in a Facebook group, or if you want me to put your contact information, we can share your contact information.
Yeah, put our
I'll
link
get it from you.
Because if you go to the pinned post at the top of our Facebook link, it's got every handler's name and phone number and kind of the area or county that
it's
we're in.
It's a good idea to put them in your phone ahead of time.
For sure,
ain't no question.
Oh, for sure.
Bart, I'm going to tell you.
I call Bart every time Matt goes hunting. I call Bart and tell him.
Yeah, Matt's a little light. He's a little light in the pants on them shooting. But I appreciate you coming. And I know I've been on you. I've been getting Hunter to wear him out because, you know, those dogs are legends, both of them. And you know, it ain't about it's about the dog. And as many, like you said, 1,100 deer. I mean, you look at the dreams that, you know, people just how sickening they would be. I mean, look, we're talking about deer that we shot years ago that we still, in our minds, we lost. Think about how many deer those people would have lost if y'all wouldn't have found them.
Oh, for sure.
And me and Brent growing up, I mean, you'd have dogs back then. You know, you had a fella that had some rabbit dogs or a big walker somewhere. But, I mean, you know, you –
blood trailing dog wouldn't have.
No, you dang sure didn't have something bay one up and let you walk up there and get another chance. Because, I mean, that's what y'all do. Y'all giving them another chance.
Oh, for sure.
To get him. And, I mean, bottom line is – but we appreciate, you know, y'all coming in and
yeah, and it really is about the dog. We talk about
it. I'm telling you.
The law is cool.
It's amazing.
What y'all do, you know, the stories are good. But, really, I like the idea of celebrating those dogs because, they're
cool.
Impressive now.
They are.
Those dogs are famous.
They are. I mean, it's more.
You walk
dogs
into
dogs.
A beer joint and say Bart Chancellor. Somebody's gonna say Smoke. I guarantee
you. And that's exactly
or
right.
Or Arby's. I mean, you know, either one.
I mean, it didn't have to be a beer joint. I just mean, I didn't mean to run him down the road, but just that's
a. What's a beer joint, Bart?
That just means.
I'm supposed to go to Bull.
I would have said Chick-fil-A with a big old guns. Bart's told him he ain't going to no Chick-fil-A. Yeah. He going to go to Arby's.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
My point, look, it could be a Sunday school class, but people know.
There's no
people
question.
Know 100%. People that deer hunt know that name and they know that dog. And I'm sure it's that way. You know, we're not in the Delta. And to that point, I appreciate you coming a long way over to sit down with us.
Oh, man. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
You traveled all the way over here to Columbus from the Delta. And we put some pork chops on the grill and ate. We want to feed you for coming. But, you know, the dogs are known. The service you provide is known. And you're head and shoulders above most of. You know, the other people out there, I appreciate
all the
y'all
people,
coming in.
And Chad, I own a deer processing plant. So, you know, I get tons of calls. Hey, Chris, look, we got smoke on the way. How long are you going to be open?
Until well, you get here. Cause
we
know
close at 8, but you call me. And you know, I mean, you just like y'all do, you got to work around somebody's schedule.
Oh, for sure.
And I've had a lot of deer that big deers, hey, shot a big deer, Bart's on the way, bringing smoke, you know, and I'll tell them, hey, it's how you get in. Call me if you find it, and you know, because a lot of times during bow season, it'll ruin. So I'll go down there and open up, and Bart will find him and put him in the truck, and you know, it's kind of like business doing business. He send him on, he'll bring him on the prairie meet, and rest history.
I'll tell you a little interesting. I say fact. It's pretty much fact because we see it all the time. The success rate on bow shot deer versus gunshot deer, the success rate is higher on bow shot deer than it is gunshots. And you would think it would be totally opposite. A guy sitting there with a high powered rifle, you know, but you take the bow hunter, hopefully that deer was inside of 50 yards in the daylight. So he's got a real good idea where he hit him, you know. Not saying bow hunters are better woodsmen than the guy that only gun hunts. But the guy with that high-powered rifle sitting there at dusk dark, and he's shooting one at 250 yards, 300 yards. And
at dark.
At dark.
Yeah.
You know, so many more variables come into play. I dabble a little bit in the long-range shooting. And one of the first questions, because we hear it all the time, hey, man, I shot one at 670 yards. What kind of rangefinder you got? Oh, well, I mean,
equipment makes a big difference out there in that game.
And it's, you know, you don't have a clue where you hit him.
Right.
The bow shot deer. Now, we get a bunch of calls from bow shot deer, and it's, you know, that high shoulder.
Is it always I hit him perfect? I 10 ringed him?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That shoulder shot that you were talking about, Chad, it gets a lot of them, don't it?
It, no doubt.
That high shoulder with that bow.
And with the rifle, too.
At that angle. Yeah.
Even the rifle.
Yeah.
If folks would take 10 minutes and study the anatomy of a deer, you know.
Well, that'd be bad for business, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like Bart said,
well,
6.5, good for business.
It is, but I mean, you know, I tell folks all the time, if you'll aim 3 ribs back and aim at the bottom third, you'll be successful more times than not. And that's kind of – that's my tip for the day.
That's what I'm talking about.
That and pull the choke out when it's cold.
Yeah. All right, well.
Guys, that's good. I'm telling you, I you don't know how much I preach both of y'all. Appreciate y'all coming. It's to know knowledge. I mean, we try to learn. We, you know, on our podcast, we're trying to give people knowledge, but, I mean –
yeah,
I
knowledge,
more
knowledge
today
from
I
real
off
world
any
experience.
We've done.
Yeah, I mean, this
I
is
mean,
what we set out to do with this podcast is to be real world, not just something in a textbook. It's a real world experience. Yeah. Y'all seen a lot, like Chris said when we first started. Y'all probably held some of the biggest deer killed in the state.
There's no question in the state of Mississippi. No,
I
question.
Went on a run 4 years ago. Now I guess I found 7 deer over 180 in 6 days.
Man.
And now, I'm not bragging.
No,
it's
but
just,
that's where it's, you're at. That's your
you know,
territory.
Bart found more deer than I did in that same 6 day period.
Right.
Just from where I'm at. But I mean, and these were all typicals.
Wow.
And matter of fact, I told you and Brent in a text the other day, I mean, for the most part, I get to take pictures, you know, but I'll ask, hey, do you mind I post this? And I, and from time to time, it's I get it. I mean, I found a slick 9-point, no kickers, no stickers, no blemishes on him whatsoever, and he was 189 inches.
God, and man.
I, you know.
And never seen the light of day, has it?
No.
Pictures.
Nope. I didn't get to take one.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Biggest and look, deer. People appreciate that, too. I want that. You know, it's one thing to say that, and we say that with the spirit of, you know, look, not everybody wants people to know. But that speaks a lot to you, too. And that privacy. Goes back to people will call you. People want to use you because you're professional. You've done it. You've done it a lot. This isn't new to you. You're going to come in there, and it's going to be all about the business. And you're not trying to blow somebody. You know, people trust you. I mean, that's what it boils down to. People trust you.
And, Bart, you got a lot of clients, people. They don't want.
Yeah, we don't talk.
Yeah. You know, you just. You don't have
look,
that.
Look, Bart, what was that World War II saying? Bart backed away from that mic, so I ain't going to tell any secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, in what we do, and I'm going to brag on his dogs because he's not. You know, Bart's got as high-powered pack of running walker dogs as anybody in the country. And how many deer do they run catch a day in a day's time? You turn 10 of them out and ain't caught one yet.
They can't catch them.
That's right.
You know, so when you can take one 12-year-old black mouth cur or one 12-year-old Labrador retriever and go catch them, it's
pretty amazing.
Well,
what goes? I mean, they're doing a service.
Athletes.
That deer was going to be that deer need to be
was
recovered.
Not going
to
make it.
It's not hunting; it's recovery. I think that's
they're
the
athletes.
Point. That's a takeaway from that.
You know, and I always laugh and tell Bart, and it started with Bull. You know, because Bull was running smoke for a couple of years before he retired and sent him over to Bart. And, you know, at least I do get to tell folks that I feel like I put smoke on the map, bringing him to the Delta.
That's no doubt.
That's awesome. Man, you could watch what those dogs see before you get there, it'd be unbelievable. I mean, just.
Probably some tense moments.
Mean, it's, we're gonna interview Smoke.
You run up on a 190 in knee deep water. I'm gonna say it's tense.
Yeah. Because I'm gonna tell you, he's trying to get away.
Well, I'm gonna tell this story on Bart. The first time I ever met Bart, he came with Jason Birchfield over to the river. A guy had shot a really big deer, and he called me, and I was at another river camp. Shot him that morning, and he called and he said, "Hey, I done shot the biggest deer that I've ever shot, and this guy's killed some big deer." And I said, "Well, I'm at Calk Island, you know, when I get through." Well, he gets off the phone with me, and of course this is a guy that looks at Facebook, and you know, he feels like those were the best two dogs out there, so he calls them too, and he called me back. He said, "Hey, I got both of y'all coming." I said, "All right." So Bart shows up with Bull, and we wait till dark. And we turn out, dog gets the deer up, runs him right back to us. They catch him from me to you, 5 foot away, pull him on the ground by the butt. 196 inch deer. Bart's got the GoPro on his little chest strap backpack looking thing.
Why's he got to be little?
Yeah, with them old big guns. That's right. Yeah.
And so. I mean, we see him coming from about 50 yards away, and he's, you know, the deer shot quartering away, broke a shoulder, blowed out the brisket, and, you know, he's having trouble. I mean, the dog stand him up and catch him within inside of 100 yards. And Bart's got the GoPro. He's right in the middle of the action. We get the deer killed, and Bart said, "Man, if I hit the power button," he said, "we fixing to be in the money." So we get the deer out, we get to the skinning rack, and man, we can't wait to get back to the computer where we can put this SD card in. And it's about 9 still photos of half of Bart's face, because he's looking down and he's got that camera up and he's hitting buttons.
And it switched on him.
I hit the old mule for him, Chris. Yeah. You couldn't hear it, but
yeah,
that's right.
Oh, but oh, yeah, he never got a picture or video of the deer. But God, yeah, he was 195 and some change. Ain't typical. That was killed,
memories, y'all
killed on the
stuff
river.
That y'all seen, man? Wow.
Well, that's, man. Wild. Y'all give those those dogs a good off season. It's like they're living their best life out there. We may bring them in and get some pictures, but that's cool. We're all big deer hunters, and we all love dogs. So it's right up our alley.
It is.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, all right.
I enjoyed it.
I appreciate it. You. Thank
coming
y'all. Out.
Appreciate Thank y'all you. Coming in.